I am one of two part-time paid staffers, and I do the ordering and all of the ideas about how we're going to get this food out to people equitably and hopefully as healthy as we can, and manage all the volunteers. This place runs on volunteers. There's probably 15 or 20 of them here right now. I don't count, because who wants to actually know that? No. Thousands of volunteer hours that I require that people just give. That's the most amazing part of this. Yeah, well, once it runs smoothly, and that's because I've got these volunteers who just come back and come back. And once they get bitten by the bug of wanting to be here, you can't even chase them off. So, once they understand how important it is. Sure. And so distributions happen Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, 9 a.m. to noon. We are also open on Thursdays, 9 a.m. to noon, but only for vegetables, what's going on in the waiting room, which we'll get to later. So distribution is giving food out to people who live in the three zip codes of the north side that we serve. That's 15212, 214, and 233. So all the Observatory Hill, Northview Heights, and over to Manchester. We do not do Bellevue, because we don't do 202. Mm-hmm. And we will serve 50, 60 people, but there'll be over 100 come through the door that are just coming to get produce and bread.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And during the holidays, or right before a holiday, we can serve 100 people, but usually a normal up day is 80 mm-hmm. at a time, 80 in 3 hours. This is in White Oak, but we train all through the Tri-County area, and we'll answer calls up to 4 hours. So I train dogs to look for dead people, but the rest of my team looks for live. So, all right, so we're doing a tour of the food bank. I'm a pantry. The official terminology is I'm giving you a tour of the food pantry. Most of our food comes from the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank. They are getting their food through the government. A lot of the food that we get has this insignia on it, this USDA food. This is part of our tax dollars at work. This is your farm subsidies. This is bailing out farmers or propping farmers up, depending on where you are in your ideology. We're scoring a whole lot more of this than we normally would because of Trump's ridiculous tariff businesses. He is affecting the market so much that we are absolutely loaded with pork. He has messed up pork to the point that we've got free because he's buying it from the farmers to keep the prices stable. And he's giving it to us. So that's what happens when there's too much of something and the government buys it, then at least then they're giving it to poor people. Because for a long time in my, you're like, why can't we just give everybody enough food stamps and be done with it? And it's because of the way our government operates, we need some place to put all that extra food. And so we put that extra food on poor people. That's what senior cheese is about. A lot of grandparents got senior cheese. I remember my grandmother used to get it. And it was that really nice big block of cheddar-y American. It was a really nice cheese. Now there's a smaller version of it, which is basically like a Velveeta, a cheese processed food. So what had been a dairy subsidy that produced a really nice quality cheese now produces some kind of corn subsidy cross. So these are the ways that you see your government dollars working. This is really a critical component of how this pantry operates. Why we need pantries, you know, why higher-ups want the food pantries, because they need a place to put all this food that they're using to stabilize. It's not just American products that they buy also. For several years, we used to get Egyptian macaroni. And you're like, yeah, Egyptian food. With elbow mac, what's that? And so that was some part of my government. I have no idea how it worked or where it was in the State Department. But so that was the government not just buying wheat from Egypt to try and stabilize, I would hope, but also buying a value-added product, having them create elbow macaroni and then shipping it all over here. And we were buying it and giving it to poor people. And then for a while, we also had some Argentinian. Right now, I think I do have some pasta that's actually coming from Italy. But that could actually just be a donation. So the other thing that happens is that companies donate food very regularly. Like we consistently have these raisins. For the last 3 years, we've had these raisins. So somebody has realized that if I order this many raisins, I get it at a cheaper amount. If I donate it, I get the tax write-off. And so producing 3 bazillion raisins, I don't make a profit on all of it, but I get to write off the profit on something else. And so the way businesses work, the way they're taxed, the way they can write off donations, this is how we get a lot of our food. Some of the food that I get from the food bank, I actually pay like all these prices, maybe 10% under. So some of it I'm paying full price for. I spend 2/3 of my budget, which is $500 a week, on toilet paper and laundry detergent. These are items that you cannot buy with food stamps. This is critical stuff to being a reasonable neighbor and a good American. If I don't have toilet paper, I'm going to use something else. I need to have toilet paper. If I use something else, I'm going to clog my toilets. I'm going to cause problems in the building that I'm in. My landlord's just going to be looking for a reason to get rid of me and my kids. I have to have toilet paper. It's a human right issue. It's my housing. It's how I get along with everyone. I need toilet paper. And so that's what I spend my money on, is toilet paper and laundry detergent. And then most of this food is donated. The Venn diagram of my clientele. I have guys who maybe just got a rehab or prison. Those guys are living in a boarding house. They may not even have access to a refrigerator or a hot plate. They're eating out of cans. They're eating straight out of a can with a spoon. I've got a grandma who's living in subsidized housing, worked her whole life really hard as a domestic under the table. She worked, but it was always under the table. So she's not paid into Social Security. She's getting the minimum amount of Social Security, but you give that woman a chicken, she'll feed 30 people. You know, she's got it. All you have to do is give her the right thing. She's the one that when we have tomato juice or something sort of exotic, is just amazed and thrilled at that luxury. And then you've got moms with kids who are getting, you know, $400 worth of food stamps, but that's not really enough to keep a family going. And so she needs all sorts of different things. She's my really heavy toilet paper user. All of them need my laundry detergent. But she's got a 9-year-old kid who just, you know, they just suck up the toilet paper. And of all the fights you want to have with your kid, you don't want to have fights about only 3 sheets or whatever. You know, whatever your fight's going to be about toilet paper. And so so that kind of covers, you know, and everybody falls in between with what their abilities are to cook, their knowledge, and then what facilities they have, whether they even have a kitchen. And so those are all the people that I'm trying to cover. And so then we go from there. Then I've got a bunch of stuff. The big blue bins that you see, we're affiliated with Goodwill. And so Goodwill collects food at their stores. And this food oftentimes tends to be, my mother died 6 months ago, we're just cleaning out her apartment, and they dump the whole, so a lot of this food is very expired and we will actually throw it away. But some of it's good golden weird stuff that we can't get. And so, you know, like vinegar or spices or something like that maybe. So it'll be different, but it'll only be one or two of them. So it's hard to be equitable when you have all these special things. But we still put it out and just first come, first served on that. We happen to right now have all of our produce down here. This is not normal. We have a big walk-in cooler outside, which is normally where we put 1.5 to 2 tons of produce. Something went wrong with it over the weekend. And when we came back on Monday, it was 70 degrees in there. And nothing was ruined in it except for the little about 8 bags of potatoes. They're 50-pound bags, so 400 pounds of potatoes that we threw away because they were slimy juicy. And so while that was being repaired, we put everything back here. It's not that, it's okay. And so all of this is also donated stuff. We've been getting oranges all through the winter, which is the first year we've ever gotten oranges. And that's because subsidies, trade stuff. This is trying to stabilize markets. And then we've got, what have we got? We've got sweet potatoes, some kind of weird squash. We don't even know what it is. It's Cubanella peppers, which is like a sweet pepper, but different. So we have to educate people, let them know that it's not, because it looks like a spicy pepper, but it's not. And then some nectarines from Chile, which are kind of squirmy, but we're not, I mean, a nectarine from Georgia isn't really very good, so I bring all that from Chile, they're not very good either. So here's the rest of the stuff, and so, yeah, it's, what do we got? Rice, sweet peas, kidney beans, black beans. I pay market price for that jelly. I can get grape jelly from the food bank. It's about $1 of a squeeze bottle, and that's really expensive for me. And it just, yeah, it just keeps going. So this product that's in here may last me 2 months or so. We definitely give out over a ton of food a day. And like I said, we 2 tons of produce a week. That's just what we get delivered on Mondays. Then we get produce almost every day. We get more of it, a couple hundred pounds. And then on Fridays, we get another dump. This is the big food bank taking a truck up to Sam's Club, to a Sam's Club. Sam's Club has palletized their extra, the stuff they don't want. And the food bank picks it up and drives it straight here. So Sam's Club's getting a tax write-off for that. The food bank's picking it up and delivering it. All the Sam's Club has to do is put it on a pallet, shrink wrap it, and they don't have to put it in their own dumpsters. We take it. This is the way the donation system is set up, so that everyone's encouraged to donate, to not let the waste happen. No, I'm gonna keep walking, because there shouldn't be any clients back here. And so this is all of our cold and frozen storage, except for the aforementioned. This is a big walk-in refrigerator, so we have a second one equal in size outside. This one is filled with bread, desserts, dairy, and usually our vegetables don't sit out. Usually it's going in. And so this will have produce in it. Everything else is a freezer, and it's all meat. So here, if you come by here. So like this, USDA. This is drumsticks. USDA. I'm holding on to this. The plan is to give this out in June so that people can celebrate Juneteenth or the 4th of July appropriately. And yeah, so what else? So we got chicken. Yeah, close that door. And so pork loins, turkeys. For the first time, we got beef. Wow. So we're giving away massive amounts of meat. This is all free. This is all tax. This is all your tax donations. This is all subsidies that are being used to subsidize our farmers. There's always a little bit of subsidization that goes on. We always get a little bit, but this is nuts.
But in turn, that leads to lower prices for ordinary people in the grocery store.
False.
Is that false?
False prices. False pricing. All of the subsidies, all of that stuff that we do is false. Just like gasoline doesn't really cost what we pay for it. The organic is how much food should cost. There is no subsidy in organic food. That's how much food ought to cost. But everything else is false. You shouldn't be able to buy pork for 69 cents a pound. You shouldn't. It should cost more. It should cost more. Right?
That's what I was getting at.
Yeah. It's not honest. It's not sustainable. It's not where we should be eating, it's not how we should be growing things, it's all of this stumbles into what are we doing wrong. And this is supporting what we're doing wrong, because establishment will not allow change. And so that's what is here. And we are at least feeding poor people with all of this. But that is, I mean, because I'm big on dog training. When you can buy a 40-pound bag of Chewy, or a 40-pound bag of dog food from Chewy.com, and you don't pay shipping, you're like, it's not magic. Somebody's paying somewhere. There isn't a free lunch. Something is going wrong. Something is fake. This is part of the fake falling out of the sky. This is it. And so this is what we do. We feed people, and we need to feed people. And what I'm trying to do is as healthy, and I'm not gonna save them with canned food. So I need this meat. The best thing I can do for what's available for me is to feed them all the fresh vegetables I can and give them unadulterated protein, as in not in a soup can and all that. And so I'm glad to have this. But there are better ways to do it. And until we all start to pay attention, it's not going to change.
That's great. That's good stuff.
Mm-hmm. You guys are going to break the fucking internet with this shit.
Yeah.
So it is. I mean, it's powerful stuff. And that's, people don't realize. I mean, it's just down here. This is the safety net. And where the safety net came from is from mistakes that were made up here.
Well,
and just, yes.
It's an opportunity to funnel money to the top.
Yes.
And
look like you're doing something
good.
Look
like you're doing something good.
But there'd be a better way to do it.
Well, and if you really were, if the government had the willpower, they would just make all food free for everyone at all times and do the system wide.
Well, like or something close to that,
system.
Yeah. Well,
I mean.
No, because everybody's got. I'm okay with market. I don't. That's some serious socialism. I know. Well, and I'm a serious socialist. I call myself a socialist, but I'm not that kind of socialist. I'm not that kind of. Yeah, and I'm okay with.
We had to pay for food.
Yeah,
we had to pay for housing even.
Yeah. Well, somebody's got to pay for. Yeah, I mean,
games going on.
Yeah, that's some serious utopian stuff. I'm not expecting any of this.
Yeah,
when I started swearing, I think all that after
is
all
happened. Yesterday, because my Facebook page is pretty
liberal. Yeah.
And
let's see, it sounds pretty quiet out there right now, so we might be able to get you so you can sort of scan through. Yeah, everybody's standing around. Excellent. Okay, I've got two clients down here. You can film as long as you just avoid them. We're not filming y'all. So what you do as a client is you come down here and you're going to shop for 20 pounds of food. And so you can get 20 pounds of whatever you wish. And, so now he's not legit, thank you. And so, we're working around you. And so you can pick 20 pounds of whatever you want, goes over on the scale, and then one of the volunteers takes your cart, and because we're gonna have like caddies, valets, that help you out to your cart, or out to wherever you're, however you're getting home, and then you move over to a different section, and that's where you're gonna get whatever's coming out of the coolers. The meat, whatever dairy products, cheese, and eggs, hopefully, that we will have. And then you're gonna, and so that 30 pounds of food, and then also with whatever you wanted out in the waiting room, and you can film out there if you can see the produce that we have, and that you're allowed. This you do shopping once a month. Doesn't matter when you come, but you only come once a month, and then you can come 4 days a week. Just walk into the waiting room and get however much you need, and walk out. No paperwork, nothing. Just walk in, grab what you need, and go. 4 days a week. Okay? And so that's how we operate for clientele. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Margaret. Look at all these. Those Easter bunnies are still alive. They're not even dead yet. Mm-hmm. That's pretty fast turnaround. Lots of times we get stuff a lot later than this. Where did the Easter candy come from? Was that wasn't in the Spark? That wasn't in Spark of Hope.
I think you gave us a lot of background on that.
Okay.
Big picture.
All right.
And we get some imagery.
Okay. Yeah.
So we'll be all right.
Okay. Yeah. And so then, yeah, you can tell they're both volunteers. And so
yes.
Yeah, look like you're doing something.
Yes, I'm volunteers.
She's a volunteer. What is that? That looks like trash. What is that? No, those are bags. Those are bags. So this is leftover juice and milk. And we've got, again, cheese. We almost always have eggs. And then the meat selection today. So you can show. So we're getting a selection of whether you want beef. That's a turkey. And then there should also be a pork loin. We have a lot of people who don't eat pork, and so they're going to get one of the. So he's going to choose one of the big meats. All of this is the USDA. He's going to get one of those, and then we're going to give him two more meats. Those I've actually paid for, and then we also have a bunch of extra pork that we're just letting people have as much of it as they want. Oh, it's all gone. Good. I was running out of freezer space. When it's in the aisle and everything, we're like, no, stop.
How many hours do you work a week?
I'm here 8 to 2. Monday through Friday.
Well, thanks for doing what you do.
Mm-hmm.